All right, Long race fans. Radio. All right, race fans. Y'all know what time it is. It is our new time, new hour. Well, same hours, new time. Monday night, Race Chat Live. Of course, we're used to the Thursday night gig, so it's going to take a little bit of adjustment as we start on this prime time hour on Monday nights. Of course, I'm surrounded by a great crew here at the 110 Nation Sports. I got Mr. CJ Sports behind the counter. I've got Craig Moore to the right of me. Craig Moore, how you doing this evening? Well, we'll wait on him to get on here. There he is.
Craig ain't made it into the studio yet. So I want to take this opportunity to thank everybody for tuning in here to Race Chat Live on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. I want to make sure that I thank Fit for Life, Maxivation Digital Media, the I-95 Sports Network, Mile High Radio, and Carolina Sports. Without all these great marketing partners, we wouldn't be able to do what we do and continue to grow the way we grow. So I want to make sure that I thank them. Make sure you guys check us out on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports. Check us out on Twitter, at 110 Nation. Make sure you jump over to our site, www.the110nationsports.com, for all the latest. Just want to throw this out there real quick before I throw Craig in the studio and let these guys do what they do best. Wednesday, we got a fundraiser, weather permitting. Didn't know until today that we got a little rain and another, at this point, I don't know if it's going to be a hurricane or whatever the case may be, but we got something else coming our way. They're talking anywhere from Wednesday to this weekend that we're supposed to feel some of the effects of it. So weather permitting, we got a fundraiser to help raise money and gather items for those that lost from Hurricane Florence. This might end up being a joint effort, depending on how this affects us here in the next week or so. But as of right now, Wednesday from 10 to 4, 801 North Main Street, Spring Lake, North Carolina, the Circle K. Make sure you guys come out there, check us out, and help us help our community and bring down clothes, toilet paper, cleaning supplies, hygiene, food, whatever you can give. To help these people continue to rebuild, as a lot of people lost a lot of things in the last hurricane. So I just want to throw that out there real quick. But got Craig in the studio now, and you guys got a lot of great things to cover, a lot of great things this weekend, and a returning guest, and very interested to hear about the returning guest and what he's got to say. I know we've all been keeping our eye on him even a little bit more since his last visit, and so looking forward to catching up and hearing what he's got to say. But, Chris, the floor is yours.
Yeah, definitely, man, and kind of a surprise situation, a last-minute deal on getting this special guest on at the 30-minute, at the half-hour mark. I'm going to let Craig Moore announce who it is. He's the one doing all the legwork around here, Craig Moore. Who do we have? Who's the special guest everybody's talking about coming on here in about 30 minutes?
All right, in about 30, 35 minutes, the driver, the number 52 Halmar Friesen Camping World Truck Series, top 8 contender, Prince's own Stuart Friesen, is going to join us at the bottom of the hour.
Really excited about that, my friend. It's been a few months since we talked to him. It seems like we got to talk to him, Craig, and then all of a sudden he went on this media blitz. Like, every time we turned around, he was making headlines and in the media, and it was his performance that just really, you know, brought on all the popularity. Stuart's yet to pick up a win this year, but the trucks are back in action this weekend at Talladega Super Speedway. Unfortunately, I won't be there to see a possible win by Stuart Friesen, but we'll definitely try to cover all the main topics and stuff that are coming out of Talladega Super Speedway this weekend. I also would like to tell you guys that the NASCAR Heat 3 game is the coolest game ever. You can get it for Xbox or PS4. You can play your buddies from across the world, and they have tournaments, live tournaments, that they have weekly for the racetracks that the Cup schedule is actually racing at. So this week they're highlighting Talladega, and there's a lot of people online racing to hit that right mark so that they have a chance to go down to Homestead, Florida at the end of the season to race in a eSports championship. And guys, we don't talk much about eSports around here, but I think that that's our own fault because eSports is really gaining a lot of momentum. They've said for years that this is going to be a big thing, and it's, you know, slowly infiltrating its way in. But I'll be honest with you guys, ever since Heat 2 and definitely in Heat 3, the momentum of eSports, man, it is absolutely so cool to be able to get on and race people from around the world. And this little tournament that they have going on, it definitely, you know, makes it that much more competitive, and you want to get out and you want to have a good race and a fast time. Craig, you bought NASCAR Heat 3, right? You're enjoying the game as well.
I do, and right now, as a matter of fact, I'm racing in the Camping World Truck Series, and I decided not to own my own team because after winning the championship in the Dirt Series and the Xfinity team, I decided to just not worry about the financials and just go out there and race, and so far I'm sitting first in points. I like it. It's a great game. The graphics are great. And I will say that at every race, the stands are full, dude.
Thank you for your slices, Dave. Dave and Craig, I think, you know, like you said, there's the arcade side, there's the online side. One of my youngest boys, one of my middle children, he loves to get on there and race the dirt tracks and all, and he's really got involved in the arcade side of it. Of course, I'm an online freak. I love to race people in live competition. And so there's many different ways to enjoy the NASCAR Heat 3 game. And like I said, you know, they're not paying us to sit up here and talk about NASCAR Heat 3, but, you know, they really went out on a limb this year, Craig Moore. And we're integrated. We talk about dirt, and we talk about asphalt. We talk about NASCAR, and we talk about what goes on at local track. And for them to integrate this game and bring in those kind of fans, man, I just couldn't help but give a few minutes to talk about how cool it is to be able to have this kind of game. And, you know, if you remember the old Dirt to Daytona game, this is 10 times better. And definitely when we can get on and play the online features and race people from around the world or the arcade side, I expect it to get bigger. And, you know, of course, we've got many, many, many topics to talk about here tonight. But I just wanted to really put that out there because I believe you should give credit where credit is due, and the makers of 704 Games, they really did it good this time. They really did it big. This game, the first patch hit for PS4 today, and they got a lot of the glitches out of the game and all. I've sat around for mostly the last couple of days really, really enjoying the features that this game has to offer. But, yeah, we won't spend too much time, like I said, talking about this, but as long as I give a good review and you give a great review, then I guess we put that out there for 704 Games. What do you say about it, Craig?
No, I agree. I think it's great. Listen, I just want to give a huge shout-out, Chris. I'm sure you heard about this, the tragic accident that was over in Schoharie County, New York. 20 people killed in that limousine accident Saturday afternoon. I just want to say on behalf of RaceJet Live and the 110 that we send our condolences out to everybody involved in that. That thing was horrific. And I know right where that accident happened, and I've almost missed that stop sign a few times. So thoughts and prayers go out to everybody involved. And, you know, that's a heck of a way. I knew some of them just by faces. So, yeah.
Right.
But absolutely.
A tragedy up in upstate New York, and all those that were affected by that, our thoughts and prayers are with them. Now, Dover, wow. I mean, you know, you went from the excitement of the Roval, then we showed up at the Monster Mile Dover. Everybody expected it to kind of be a solid the leader race. I think a lot of people, including Vegas, thought that Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch would run away with it. I'll be honest with you, Craig Moore, they almost did. But nothing is guaranteed in racing, and Kevin Harvick found himself with a bad pit stop, and Kyle Busch was speeding on pit row, and there for a minute, Craig Moore, I thought Eric Almirola was going to seal the deal and end his 148 race winless streak. But that's for later topics. My first topic of discussion, Craig Moore, was Jimmy Johnson. He started the race and he had a broken axle or a broken tie rod or something to that effect. It's kind of worrisome to think that something like that could happen. And I'm not claiming conspiracy here, but sometimes we eat our words, do we not? He said that he was going to go out and he was going to win this race, and unfortunately, he had to start the race a few laps down for some mechanical errors. You see any conspiracy in that, Craig, or do you think that's just bad luck?
I hate to be the conspiracy theorist, but normally I am of the duo of us, but I'm going to just go with bad luck. I'm going to go with bad part malfunction, and I'm going to leave it at that.
I really think, Craig Moore, that happened was they dropped the car at some point in time on the jack stands or something when they were going through tech inspection. I really don't think that somebody sabotaged the vehicle, though it is kind of strange. And of course, without failing to mention the fact that Jimmy Johnson had kind of made up to Martin Truex Jr. and bought 12 bikes to be donated to some kids and had a cute little note to go with it. I thought that was very sportsmanlike, you know. But I'm not sure why Jimmy was the one apologizing when it was Martin Truex's mouth that I think kind of made a few people mad at his comments at the end of the race of the Roval and his derogatory comments toward, obviously, a seven-time champion, 83 race winner. Even myself, as not a Jimmy Johnson fan, I come off a little bit disturbed on how cocky Martin Truex Jr. seemed to act in that interview, forgetting that this wasn't some back-of-the-pack racer. This was a guy who is a proven champion, who's obviously had a winless streak that's been going on for quite some time, over a year. And I know that in this environment, in this racing industry, you're only as good as your last win. You're only as good as your last race. But Jimmy probably deserved a little bit more respect from Truex. But, Jimmy, the good guy that he is, he went ahead and took it for what it was and donated some bikes. I'm sure there were some happy people that left the racetrack that weekend with a fresh new bike that they weren't expecting. But, that just shows the character that he is. And Hendrick did have an announcement that they will be finding – they have found a sponsor for him. And the announcement will come sometime later in the month. One of the biggest issues about landing Jimmy Johnson a sponsor was the fact that Lowe's has covered sponsorship for him for so long, so he has no working relationship with any of these other said companies, including the companies that are already signed with Hendrick. If it was my speculation today, I would tell you that I believe Gatorade or Mountain Dew will be the sponsor of Jimmy Johnson. That's a lucky guess. If it's true, I haven't read any reports or anything like that. But I just feel like maybe Pepsi Company, the relationship that they've had with Hendrick Motorsports over the last 15 years, is the that's probably the route that Mr. Hendrick's going to go to make sure that his seven-time champion has a legitimate chance to compete for a championship next year.
I think that Mountain Dew is probably the best PepsiCo product. Like you said, those been with Hendrick for years. So I think that would be a great
sport. Yeah, it's just it's strange that sponsorship. The sponsorship hunt has gone on this long for Jimmy Johnson. And I think that, that's kind of been a real question mark of why, it's so hard to find him one. But look, guys, we're talking about a driver who's basically near the end of his career. Any long-time commitment from a sponsor, they know that they're only going to get a couple of years, and it's the backside of his career there. So, but Mr. Hendrick, the way that he is, he's always been able to pull through, even when Dale Jr. had sponsorship issues. Most people didn't realize, even Jr. there for a time had sponsorship issues with over at Hendrick Motorsports. But now, without saying anything else, Craig Moore, the Fords were dominant all day long at Dover. I really, you know, it was more like which Stuart Haas racing car would actually take victory lane, or could it be a Penske car? But that wasn't the result. That wasn't the final results, Craig Moore. How about that Chase Elliott win?
Yeah, great. He was on older tires. And I believe that the three were 24.70 by Denny Hamlin, and Chase was running 24.60, so he was a tenth of a second quicker and was able to hold him off. Now, I want to say something. I want to go back to Denny's comments, because I don't want to say that he pissed me off, but it's amazing. In Chase's interview, he said nothing about his past with Denny Hamlin. Denny had to bring it up. I said, him and Chase had finally raced and run 1-2. It kind of would have put Denny in a bad spot with probably fans and sponsors.
Are you there, Craig?
What's that?
Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. So the Denny Hamlin situation, are you talking about the rivalry that's kind of been built up between those two drivers? And did Denny think that he was going to get some extra fans because he didn't wreck Chase Elliott this time?
I think so. And I think there would have been some serious repercussions, maybe from Joe Gibbs or fans or sponsors, had he wrecked a contender for the championship. But I think that the way that he brought it up, I think, was a little classless on his part. I think he should have just let it go.
I think he should have wrecked him, Craig Moore. It would have given us a little bit more to talk about this week. No, I don't mean that. And I'm glad that these guys are getting their rivalry straightened out. But look, Craig Moore, we know as well as any other that excitement is what builds these races. And we got plenty of excitement there near the end of the race. It definitely kind of flip-flopped there with the late race wrecks. Eric Amarola, so close but no cigar. Does that team have what it takes to go further in this championship, Craig?
I don't know. They're teetering. I want to give Eric a lot of credit. He did what he had to do. You know, it showed with Jimmy Johnson that no one can sit back in this championship and take it easy. You need all the extra points you can get. If Jimmy would have had just one extra point in the first 26, 27 races, it would be a different – he would be going on and not Larson.
A couple of guys got in by the hair of their teeth. Of course, Larson and Amarola. Had Jimmy Johnson took it in his own hands and gotten one extra playoff point or a stage win, this definitely would have been a different-looking championship. Rolling into the round of 12. But honestly, out of the consistency that we've seen from him this past weekend at Dover, I was very impressed that he was able to stay up front. I'm really excited about what that 10 team can do, not just for the remaining of this year, but obviously coming up, you know, for next year as well. Eric is one of those guys that's really, you know, worked his way to the top. And, you know, to see him successful, I think, is what everybody wants for Stuart Haas Racing, because obviously he's brought that team up to competition, where that team had been kind of the naysayer of the garage for so long. You know, it's exciting to see that number 10 car out there racing. As a matter of fact, you know, Craig, I remember old Ricky Rudd in that number 10 car, and anytime Ricky Rudd showed up to a racetrack, you could almost bet you Bippy that he would be around at the end and challenge for the win. It's been a very long time since we've gotten that out of a 10 car. I believe Eric Amarola will have his time to shine, and Smithville Bacon will sell plenty of pork.
I think he did everything he needed to do to secure a win. But listen, I want to talk about is Kevin Harvick getting through that wreck. That was amazing. I don't know if you saw the in-car camera shot of the concentration in his eyes as he was weaving through that melee of cars, but it was astronomical.
So you believe the move of the race was Kevin Harvick being able to dodge that accident there. You know, unfortunate circumstances for Clint Bowyer. He had a really fast race car as well. Blew a right front, had tire issues, come in, had it changed, went right back out there and blew a right front. And Eric Amarola, of course, was leading the race, and then they bunch all back up and chaos happened there not too long after. As a matter of fact, on the restart. Was Eric Amarola pushing it too hard? He had fresher tires, Craig. He went out to the outside. He tried to hold the rim. And, you know, it just didn't work out for him. He made contact with Keselowski. Keselowski, you know, and then basically, boom, it's over with. Do you think he was trying too hard? Maybe he should have held back just a little bit? Because I'll be honest with you, Craig, I don't see any room to lay back when it's a two-lap shootout. I feel like he did what he had to do for a chance to win, and it just didn't work out for him.
No, I agree with you. I think he did exactly what he should have done. He's in the championship hunt.
Yeah, wins mean everything in this championship in the way that it's been made out. Of course, Chase Elliott now, does that make him a favorite for the end of the year? I mean, you know, we've watched Hendricks struggle all year. Hendricks only got two wins this year. Now, you know, it's Watkins Glen and Dover. Does this put Hendrick in the hunt for the championship? And will Chase be there in the final four?
Later. But do I think that Chase will be there in the final four? That's debatable. That's debatable. I'm going to worry about Talladega, because he's in the next round immediately. It'll be a different story when we start the new round. And I believe Kansas.
Yeah, you are coming in and out some there, Craig. Of course, Craig Moore's up in the upstate New York, guys. He doesn't necessarily have the best cell reception up in that area, but we're already accustomed and atoned to some cell issues that he has sometimes. Hopefully, we'll get him in clear and good in just a moment. Craig, what other topics do we have on the show?
I'm anxious for Talladega this weekend. The rules package, I think they keep changing it, and as I said, as you know, that people complain about it. And I like the post you did that you shared the other day from Larry McReynolds on McReynolds Rant about the rules package. We as fans complain to hear ourselves complain, and then when NASCAR does something that we want, we complain about that. So I'm excited to see what the rules package is, how that plays out at Speed Weeks in Daytona.
Uh-huh.
And you can bet they're going to change that rule. They're gonna play with that rule at least once or twice in 2019.
Don't charge in the kitchen. Yeah, I think that there will be some tweaking here and there with the rule package. But one thing that Larry McReynolds said that I think sets the precedent is that they're going to use the same splitters, the same spoiler, the same taper spacer for every race, Craig Moore. And I think the last thing that NASCAR would need to do is go in and tinker with that with that certain situation, because I want to get a full year of this rule package before I make a decision of whether or not I like it. I want to see how the teams adapt to the new rule package, because the one thing that we've yet to ever realize is these guys adapt to whatever NASCAR throws at them. And the cream will always rise to the top. I think one of the greatest things about the Robo race was we got to see real wheelmen. You know, the guys who are paid who pay for rides. They had your typical finish, but of course, you know, the real wheelman stood out, and I would have never guessed that Ryan Blaney would be in that real wheelman after I've basically stated that I kind of questioned his talent here on the show, but he put that to rest because that was a race that, you know, look, he was the survivor, and he took care of his car. Of course, he was in an incident earlier before, but it was in the right place, and it took consistency to get him to that checker flag. It's kind of strange that we had a whole, you know, regular season, 26 races where three guys basically dominated the whole show. Since the chases started, we've actually had a good run with, you know, different drivers winning. It's definitely moving in the right direction. Who knows who else we'll see in victory lane before the end of the season.
Does that make him a contender for the championship?
Mr. CJ Sports? I'm not sure if he's there or not. Craig, can you
I'm
hear
here.
Me okay, Craig?
I can hear okay. You. I'm just having troubles hearing Craig.
Yeah, he wanted to know what you thought about Chase and whether or not he was a viable threat for the championship and then the round of four.
I'm not going to count him out. I mean, he's proven himself all the way up the ladder, and he's part of this great Hendrick team. But I don't know. It's been kind of sporadic. The wins have come. It's not. I say that, but then just like you noted, we've watched three guys dominate the entire season, and then in the playoffs, they've not looked as dominating, and other guys have stepped up. So as part of me wants to say, you know, Chase has only kind of been here and there this season. Where have the big three been throughout the playoffs? And we're watching other guys kind of step up and kind of steal the whole playoffs right now. So I'm not going to count him out. He's driving for Hendricks, but if I had one Chris $100 bill to lay down, it wouldn't be on Chase.
And I agree, Mr. CJ Sports. I mean, since the playoffs started, we've seen Brad Keselowski win, we've had Chase Elliott win, Ryan Blaney, in a season where we typically just talked about the big three all year. There's been some resurgence from these guys. It's almost like they, you know, the right time to blossom is the playoffs. But I'm still hesitant to put Chase Elliott there at the end. And the reason why I say that is because consistency will prevail. And, you know, unless something happens with Kyle Busch, but the way that the past two races have played out, Mr. CJ Sports and Craig Moore, we could see one of these top dogs not make the next cut if they have a terrible time at Talladega. Talladega is going to be a wild card race, and if you get wrecked out early and you're in the top six of points there, there would definitely be time to worry. And who knows? I mean, the probability of us rolling into the final four with the top four guys that we've talked about all year seems to decrease by every race as we get further along in this championship bit.
I want to answer a question Craig had posted on our messenger, saying, am I saying that Chase got lucky? If this was next week and Chase was in the 20th spot and 19 cars were in the big one in front of him and he managed to drive through it, yeah, I would say he's lucky. But I'm not going to say he's lucky, but consistency is something I look at. And so I'm not going to say he's lucky. I'm just going to say that he's not been consistent enough throughout the year. I don't think anybody from Hendrick Motorsports has been consistent throughout the year enough for me to pick them. I just don't think he's been consistent enough throughout the year for me to feel that he is a serious threat of winning the championship. I'm not going to say he can't. Like I said, he drives for Hendrick, and he's won, you know, championships on his way up the ladder. So I'm not going to say he can't win it, and there's a good chance he could. I wouldn't feel confident with that pick.
Yeah, this was a one-race playoff, as in they went to Homestead with all equal opportunity. I think that that would raise the eyebrow that this could be anybody's championship. But you do have to earn your way into that fourth spot. And so, you know, it's definitely going to be I think that two of the top bidders are going to be there. Now, for the other two, I'm just not sure because, like I said, we'll have a better painted picture of how these top guys, how they're able to hold their point after Talladega. Talladega is the wrench in the bucket. It's going to be, you know, I'm just wondering if there's going to be a little bit conservative racing there at Talladega. And as for the race fan, I don't want to see that. But if I owned a race team and I had my car in the chase, I would definitely be asking my driver to bring home more than just the steering wheel. Craig Moore, it looks like that we've got our guest in the studio here. We'll go ahead and patch him in. But, Craig, have you got your cell phone service there? Because I'm going to let you kind of lead on this.
I got you.
Okay, buddy. Well, tell us real quick about the guest and all, and then we'll bring him into the studio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. For probably the last 1 hour or so, the guest of the number 52 Hemmer Friesen King World Truck Series, top 8 contender for the championship, Stuart Friesen. Stuart, how you doing, buddy?
Good, guys. How you doing tonight?
Good. So, you just got done with Super Dirt Week up there in Oswego. And how was that for you?
It was good. You know, we had a good weekend. A pair of second place finishes. You know, obviously we would have liked to had a pair of wins, and you know, we were definitely in contention and had great race cars. So it was fun. Me and my son are just having a little dinner right now and hanging out. But yeah, we had a great week. The whole dirt week thing was good.
Do you like it better at Oswego than you did at the other location at the fairgrounds, or is it pretty much even?
No, I was a big fan of racing at the mile. You know, that was a pretty cool and unique deal. You know, dirt cars done a great job of bringing the atmosphere over, you know, from the mile, from the fairgrounds to Oswego, and Oswego itself is such a historic venue, so it's cool. But you know, I was definitely a fan of the mile. You know, we had a lot of success there.
Absolutely. Now, I got to go back to Glen Ridge a couple of weeks ago. We're racing in the big 65 lap of that.
Yeah.
I think I was doing that for race check. What happened down in the end of turn 4?
Sorry, I had a hard time hearing you right there.
That's all right. What happened down in turn 4 at Glen Ridge, night of the big 65 lapper? Did you have the loser? Were you running to? What was the deal?
You know, it's hard to tell. You know, we were lapping some cars, and I forget who it was, but you know, they got a flat right rear, and I got underneath of them, and they went in the infield, and you know, Varen was close behind, and I tried to get out of there, and really couldn't. It was, you know, it was just a racing deal. It was just you know, an unfortunate thing. You know, we had a great race car that night, and I love racing at Glen Ridge, and it was a lot of fun. Just a weird, you know, a weird racing deal.
I know, because I have never heard the stands erupt like that at Glen Ridge as I did that night.
Yeah, no, it was cool. Those guys put on a great event over there, and it was great to see that place so packed with fans and race cars.
It was jam packed. I was parked up near the barn. That's how far away I had to walk. But I gotta ask you, we're going into Talladega this weekend. Last year's mission was, what did you learn from last year's race that you can carry over to this year and possibly get the top five and get back into the title talk?
Just kind of to being on the track and, the experience and being in the different lanes and how they surge and get energy and, speed up and slow down. That was pretty cool last year, experience and all that. So I know the guys have been working hard and been in the wind tunnel and stuff, and obviously with a lot of help from Chevrolet and the GMS Fab shop and that whole, race team. It's been good. As we're talking with this, Parker's laying on the ground playing with a Dale Earnhardt diecast right now. So he's one of the good guys at Talladega, obviously. So, being there and having a little experience on my belt, hopefully it'll help us, get the points we need, and get us into the next round.
Yeah, Stuart, this is Chris Creighton. I've got a couple of questions for you. First of all, you've been riding in the Truck Series for this year's, second full season. All of a sudden, somewhere around July, you really got hot, and there was kind of a media blitz. Tell us how you kind of adapted to that. I know that you're used to being famous at the dirt tracks, but did it kind of make you uncomfortable that it seemed like every time you turned around there was a camera pointed at you? How did you deal with that all of a sudden, that spurt of popularity there in the Truck Series?
No, it's all good. It's pretty cool. Obviously, we got in the Truck Series to have some results, and it took us a little bit to get, hooked up with the right people and stuff, and we learned a lot and, met some great people along the way. And, it was funny. We'd go to the modified races, and everybody's like, I can't believe they don't show you on TV. Geez, I wish they'd show you more. And I'm like, well, they don't really show the guy that's running 15th or 20th all the time. You got to be up in the front. So, once we got, the better equipment and kind of positioned our team to run in the front, that we got a little bit more exposure out of it, and it's just kind of how it's played out for us.
And I'll back this question up with that one. With the time off that y'all get at the beginning and the end of the year, obviously in July and August, things were really going hot for you.
Yeah.
We were watching the TVs, waiting to see if, you were going to get that win. And now y'all have had a little bit of a break. How do you reset that? How do you get back into the mindset that, hey, I'm going to chase for a championship? Y'all have been off for, 3 weeks now? How do you adapt to that, knowing that, this is your first time in a playoff contention? Do you have a certain mindset that you have to put yourself in to get ready to do this?
Not really. Just kind of get back into it and get rolling. It is tough to build momentum or kind of maintain momentum when you, have breaks like that. The race team, down in Statesville, they live it every day. So the team itself can kind of maintain that momentum and generate it. But, I'm fortunate enough I get to jump out and run the modified stuff. And, my focus has been on the Outlaw 200 two weeks ago, and then obviously Dirt Week. So now with that being all kind of wrapped up, we're just, making a plan for Eastern States for 2 weeks. And then, talked with, Tripp Bruce a lot today on what those guys have been up to the last week or so. And the plan of attack, with our teammates at GMS. So, it kind of the mentality started today of getting back into it and, planning our strategy and stuff for Talladega.
Now, I did catch an interview, I think it was with Daryl Mossy, and you at the end of the interview, the question was, what T-shirt would you not allow your kid to wear? And it happened to be Ben Rhodes. With all this time off, has things kind of gotten better between you and Ben Rhodes? I mean,
I like Ben Rhodes. I was just trying to break his balls a little bit. I think once Ben, gets himself a steady girlfriend a little bit, and I think graduates high school, maybe we'll put Parker in a Ben Rhodes T-shirt.
That's good to hear. That's good to hear.
No, he's a good kid, obviously a talented race driver, but nah.
Yeah.
And a good friend.
Yeah, obviously that was in good heart, and I think a lot of us took that for what it really was. But like we say, it's been great to get to see you, and of course, you know, the success that you've had already has kind of, you know, made you a little bit more popular there. And to be honest with you, Stewie, you've done a great job at being able to handle that. I know that all the years of dirt experience and being able to handle, you know, the pressure of being in a top modified has kind of helped you in this transition. But my biggest question for you is, what have you learned the most this year out of the truck series?
Oh, you know, just, you know, the different strategies and stuff. Were, you know, racing in the top five and racing for wins, you know, last year when we weren't really competing for points. And, you know, we were just kind of, you know, a 15th place car, you know, fifth being our best runs. And, you know, the strategy is just a little bit different. You're not really racing so hard for the stage points and stuff. And that's been a little bit to get used to. You know, you got to race for those stage points, but, you know, you kind of got to save your stuff and make the right adjustments. You know, we've had races where we've had, you know, a winning race car for the first half of the race and just either over-adjusted or under-adjusted and not had it play out for the whole race. So that's been the biggest thing, you know, to learn and adapt to.
Do you know that you went the wrong way?
I'm sorry. I, you were breaking up there. I can't really hear you.
How soon into a run do you know that you went the wrong way on an adjustment?
Oh, it's usually pretty quick. It's, you know, when you put stickers on it, it'll mask it, you know, for a couple laps. And then it's like the fourth or fifth lap, you know, especially like at a mile and a half, fourth or fifth lap in, you know, it starts, you know, head one way or another. And you know that, you know, either we didn't make the right adjustment or, you know, or we need to go more.
All right. Now you're going into Martinsville in 2 weeks after this, the 27th, actually Halloween weekend.
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking forward to at Martinsville? I don't like to look too far ahead, but you're going into Martinsville. And obviously hoping to come off a good place finish at Talladega. What is what's one of the trickiest things about Martinsville for you?
Oh man, the the biggest thing about Martinsville is like not getting wrecked, you know. So we've ran there twice and three times now, and just not had a lot of really good luck there, you know. So hopefully we have some fast stuff. I know our short track program is, you know, leaps and bounds better than it was when we were there in the beginning of the year when it snowed and that crazy weekend. So we'll just go and race as hard as we can, and hopefully we've, you know, made the improvements.
All right. Now, I got to ask you, because I can only imagine that when NASCAR 2 was released and you found out you were going to be in the game, what was that like for you as a quote unquote new driver to the series to be featured or to have a spot in a NASCAR game?
Yeah, no, it's super cool, you know, super cool for myself. And you know, I'm not a big video game guy anymore, but you know, I used to be, and always dreamed of stuff like that happening. So it's pretty cool, and you know, it's neat for all our race fans that, you know, come to the track and come to the modified races and stuff and talk about either, you know, winning races or, hey, man, sorry, but I had to wreck you to get you out of the way. You know, I got to make some points and stuff. So it's been fun.
I actually just went to NASCAR Heat 3 a couple weeks ago, and I made it to the truck series, and I'm like, all right, well, I got to pitch Stewie. I said, just because.
Yeah.
The video messages on there are hilarious. I believe I sent a couple of them to Chris. But what is Parker's lot 3?
Yeah, he'll be 3 in December, so he's a little early for some of that stuff yet, but
it happens fast, Stewie. It happens real fast, and I'll tell you that even down here in the Mississippi area, around my friends and all, You walk into their living room and their kid, their 7 or 8 year old kid, has got that number 52 truck wound out at a place like Charlotte and others, and it just shows that you've had a real big influence on the impact on being a dirt racer and now a truck racer. I believe that's really been a great benefit, not just for NASCAR, but also the younger fans to be able to know that you are a full-time commitment in the dirt racing world as well.
Yeah, no, that's super cool, and that's awesome. You know, I've worked really hard to get here and you know, win enough races and attract the right sponsors and the right people, and that was it. You know, I didn't, you know, come up as a 16 or 17 year old with this, you know, planned out attack on, you know, we're going to go super late model race and then we're going to go, you know, ARCA or East Series or, you know, into the truck. It was kind of like, I'm just trying to, you know, get some money together for tires and, you know, rides and stuff in the modified world up here. And, it's worked out. You know, I've been really fortunate to be hooked up with great car owners and great sponsors and supporters, and it's just been a dream, you know, just to be racing. So it's pretty cool. And if you know, the kids and stuff are behind me on that, that's even better, you know.
Yes.
What is your plan for next season, Stu?
Right now, we got a couple irons in the fire, but nothing's really set in stone yet. We'll see, you know, where Chris Larson and the folks at Helm are, you know, want to go with the NASCAR stuff, with the truck stuff, and we're just you know, trying as hard as we can this year and trying to keep going in the chase and win some races, you know, and then just, you know, maybe we'll let the 2019 stuff kind of fall where it is after we, you know, get our job done this year.
All right.
Go ahead, Chris.
I believe that was Mr. CJ Sports. Mr. CJ, did you have a question for our guest?
Well, he's not there. Hopefully he'll chime in a second. When will you leave for Talladega?
Go ahead, Mr. CJ Sports.
I didn't chime in, but I will, so you guys let me get an opportunity here. There was two questions that I did have listening in, and one of them probably was answered when he was on previously, but I was curious, one, what had changed when Chris was talking about all of a sudden he kind of got on fire, got this momentum going, what had changed within the organization that made you start not being a 15th and 20th place team, but being up front top five, top 10 finishes? And then also talking about, so listen to Craig talking about going from Talladega to Martinsville, how big of an adjustment is it for a driver to go from a 2.66 mile track to paperclip? And does you going to these different tracks and doing the modifieds and doing everything you do, does that help you adjust to different tracks maybe easier than some of the other drivers that are just kind of there on the weekends? I don't want to say it that way, but don't have everything else going on like you have going on.
Yeah, those are good questions. You know, as far as the, you know, our race team, it was just getting ourselves, you know, into the right equipment. You know, like I said, we started with Billy Hess and Tommy Baldwin and just kind of got the ball rolling with some used trucks and stuff that we had, you know, we picked up. And then, you know, it really, really picked up when, you know, Trip Bruce, who was my crew chief with Tommy Baldwin when we were associated with him, when he was managing the team. And then, you know, we moved up to GMS and started utilizing their, you know, their equipment and their race cars and their fab shop. And as soon as we got, you know, kind of in there a little bit better and got a couple new trucks and stuff, that's, you know, that's when it started rolling, when we got some latest and greatest stuff. So that's kind of where the speed came from. And then, you know, your second question as far as, you know, just racing as much as I can, and it's just like anything, you know, if you play hockey and, you know, you practice every day, you're just going to get better at it, and you play golf and you go out there and golf, you know, two or three rounds every day, you're going to get better and better. So being in the race car and, you know, having these breaks in the schedule and being able to get in the modified and go race and be competitive and stay focused, just I think it helps. It helps me adapt to, you know, different situations and going from a a Talladega to a Martinsville or you know, any of the different speedways. They're all a lot of fun, but, you know, hopefully I can do my job and adapt quick and be able to relate to the crew what changes we need to make, if any. And, you know, I think, you know, doing the modified stuff, you know, it's got to help that. You know, just I don't think it can hurt, you know.
Yeah,
Stewie, so as we were texting each other in the back log here to come up with the next question, I think, you know, I've talked to a lot of drivers. They tell me that there's no such thing as an off season. All the racing that you do, and I'm sure it's, you know, like 360 days out of the year. So the 5 days off, what do you do during your off time, Stewie?
try to mow the lawn and be a good dad. You know, Parker's growing up just as fast as can be, and it's crazy watching him grow. And just, you know, be there for him and help my wife, Jess, with, you know, we have the T-shirt company, Onesie Tees, and she does a great job with that, obviously. So trying to be there and support her and as well as run all these races. So, yeah, there isn't really a downtime when the season does slow down, you know. I'm in the shop every day working on the modified stuff. So we got some plans to you know, sell a couple cars and build a couple new cars in the modified stuff and keep you know, our skate sharps, so to speak, on all that stuff, and you know, we just kind of roll with it now.
Right. Is dirt in December something that you are planning on being a part of, or is that still an invitational?
That's still something that I'm going to you know, get online on my phone, plug it into the TV, and then sit on the couch and drink a couple beers and watch. That's kind of off our radar right now. You know, maybe someday, like never say never, but, we got so much busy stuff going on, you know, that race and, the Chili Bowl and stuff, Briscoe and Bella, every time I see them, are like, oh, come on, this year you gotta do Chili Bowl. And I'm like, you try having a 3-year-old and being away for a week at a time. It's, you know, your priorities change a little bit. Not that I wouldn't love to do that, but, you know, being away and then, that kind of stuff during the off season is just something that's really just not on our radar right now. It's, as a race fan, I love to watch it and love to follow along, but being out there and doing it's just a little bit of a different story right now.
One last question, and it has to do with another short track. A lot of asphalt guys, a lot of the big name players, they've gone through the Snowball Derby to get where they are. Is there any ambition to maybe race that race one day as you get a little bit more comfortable in a stock car?
Absolutely. I'm glad you asked that. Absolutely. We have plans to do that this year with Helmar and Gary Blue and Justin Ordle with the 112 Super Late. So yeah, we have plans now. We're going to run Homestead, hang out in Florida for a couple weeks and run the Snowball. So we'll be there.
So, what is your favorite beer?
What's that? I'm sorry, I lost you there.
What is your favorite beer?
What is my favorite beer? Is that what the question was?
Yeah. What
you
had mentioned about sitting on the couch and watching the race.
Oh yeah, I'm a Bud Light guy. I'm a Bud Light guy. I'll drink anything if it's cold, but if I can have my choice, it's Bud Light.
Good luck this weekend in Talladega and the rest of the season, and bring all the championship to Sprint.
Okay, man. We'll try our best.
And sorry about Craig's cell phone service there, Stewie. We'll have that worked on by the time we come on again, hopefully next year.
It's spotty up here. It's tough.
Yeah, it is. And we appreciate you taking time out of your day to come on our little bitty radio show. Of course, we'll share this around, and it's just an awesome opportunity for us to get to talk to such a big name driver like you. And we want you to have as much success as possible. We hope that your truck career continues on as I feel like NASCAR is getting back to the grassroots and giving guys like you the opportunity to be able to show what you're made of. And I know it takes a lot of money and a lot of effort to make these things happen. But you are the guiding light for a lot of other dirt track drivers that are trying to get where you are. And I want to see you as successful as can be, and hopefully maybe get you in a junior motorsports car for the Xfinity Series soon.
But yeah, something like that would be super cool. But yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me on, and everyone have a good night.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm Stuart Friesen. Mr. Freeze going for a championship as they wind down the season in the Camping World Truck Series, soon to be the Gander Mountain Truck Series. Also, big block modified driver from upstate New York. Has many wins. The one thing I left on the table was I wanted to ask him, how rich have you gotten, you know, from your big modified efforts. But the real question was, what was the biggest purse you've ever took home? But we'll save that one for the next time that we get Stuart on. Craig, I appreciate you getting out there and getting Stuart on again for us before we close out our season.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great to have him on. I had shot him an email or a message the other day and asked him if he would be willing to come on one last time for the season. And like I said, he was gracious enough to tear it up. Sounds good. And, it's awesome to have someone with his character and his standing to come on, like you said, and join us on our little bitty race show. But, hey.
Yeah, we're going to have to put together some sponsorship money so that we can add our logo to the back of it, to his tail fin on the Halmar Friesen Truck Series truck. That would be awesome, especially a place like Talladega and all, or, you know, where it's somewhere where he gets a lot of exposure. I'm really expecting him to catch a win before the end of the season. I haven't missed a truck race since we've had him on, and I tell you, he's made a fan out of me, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And, it was just great. It was great to be able to talk to him. You can tell he's a family guy. And as he said, priorities change once you have a little one. And you and I both know that. So, but I'm excited about Talladega this weekend. I'm going to give you my pick right now. I'm going to go with Kevin Harvick in the Cup Series.
Yeah, and what about, what about the Truck Series there, Craig Moore?
Well, dude, you already know who I'm going with. Stuart Friesen.
I've got Stuart Friesen as well in the trucks. On the Cup side, you know, this has been the year of the upsets in the playoffs, Craig. I really feel like somebody outside the chase is going to pick up a restrictor plate win. And if it had to be somebody in the chase, I would definitely pick Alex Bowman. But I really feel like Jimmy Johnson is going to pull this off, man. And you know, it'll be kind of, upsetting that he gets a win, but it's not in the chase. He's not in the chase. But at the same time, Jimmy's always ran well at Talladega. He's won there before. I think, you know, his mindset since that wreck has been, I want to prove myself because I'm not done. And I remember Mark Martin doing the same thing, Craig Moore. I remember Mark Martin telling everybody, yeah, I retired for a couple of years, and I stepped back and didn't run a full schedule. But I'm not done yet, and I've got something to prove. And, boy, did he prove it in that number 5 car at Hendrick Motorsports. I don't think we've seen the last of Jimmy. I think everything gets turned around at Talladega. I'm probably never in Race Chat Live existence have I chosen Jimmy Johnson 2 times in the same year. But really, I mean, Jimmy looks to be like he's got what it takes to get his car back up front, and the mindset is there. So I'm going out on a limb. I'm picking Jimmy Johnson. Maybe CJ Sports can put in his picks and let us know when he's online here. But definitely the season is not over. It's not over, and we could still see some new guys pick up a win. CJ, are you there?
I'm here.
Who's your favorite rolling into this Talladega weekend, buddy?
Well, I'm sure the hell not going to be the odd man out of the Truck Series now. Now, come on now. so I'm going to go with Stuart as well. Cup Series, though, I had two names that I was going back and forth with, and you picked one of them, so I'm going to go the opposite one. I was going to go the other one anyway, but you helped set me in the other direction. I don't think Bad Brad is done yet. I'm not a Brad Keselowski fan. Being prior service, I do hold a special spot in my household. That what he does with the flags after he wins the races does make it where I can't dislike him. I'm not going to say he's my favorite driver, but because what he does, there's some drivers they have no shot of ever me cheering them on. But because of what Brad does, if he wins a race, he wins a race. It doesn't hurt my feelings. I don't think he's done winning this year. And I think Talladega, Brad will find himself a victory lane.
Yeah, Brad is always a good bet at Talladega. He is definitely what we would call a restrictor plate racer, which makes this big word irrelevant as of next year. We'll go over this real quick before we close out the night. But this is the last restrictor plate race at Talladega. Is there a significance to this? I mean, it's been 31 years in the making that we finally get rid of the restrictor plate. Is it going to be much of a difference, guys, when we show up to Talladega in April of next year? I know the rule package isn't clarified on exactly how this is going to work, but I know a lot of fans are excited that the restrictor plate's going to go away. Does it make this race even more special knowing that they will not be back at Talladega next year with the restrictor plate? And what happens to all these conspiracy theorists that think somebody gets a special plate? I mean, where are they going to? Are we finally going to find out that through all these years it really was a special plate that somebody was assigned? I'd love to have y'all's comments on that.
Do I think it's special? Hell yeah, I think it's special. Anytime that there is a first for anything, whether it was Indy, the Roval, the first restrictor plate race, I think that there's a specialty in all of that. So do I think it's going to change much? No, I think the racing is going to be a lot better. I think that, as I said earlier, we wanted change. We liked the rules package at Charlotte this year for the All-Star race. NASCAR listened. It's going to take a year for any of that to really, before we can really process, was it good for the sport or not? And you're going to have the purists that say, oh, it was the best. And then you're going to have the naysayers that say, oh, this year sucked. So,
Craig, is it going to be the taper spacer tracks, or are they still going to be considered the plate tracks? I mean, how do we explain super speedways now when for years we relied on the fact, oh, that's a plate track. That's a restrictor plate track. How do we even connect now with the racetrack knowing that they're not restrictor plate races? Are we going to go back to calling them super speedways?
I think we should, but you know, we won't because we're ingrained. I mean, when you write a check, if you still write checks, how long into a new year do you still put the previous year on it?
Touche, my friend, touche.
So, I mean, it's going to take us a while to get used to it. I think it's going to be awesome. I think that everybody will be on board with it. Of course, they really have no choice because that's the decision that the powers to be at Daytona have made. We'll have to sit back, wait and see. Just like we're going to have to sit back, wait and see what happens at Talladega after it all pans out at about 6:30 Sunday night.
Yeah, and it's always going to be exciting. I can't remember a time where Talladega wasn't exciting. I know that one time they raced there and they didn't have a single caution flag. Yeah, that was the year Bobby Hamilton won. But other than that, we've always gotten really good racing, a lot of side-by-side pack racing. We've seen so many different rule packages over the last few years and cars that were tandem racing and now cars that are, that the pack racing is back. And so as long as you keep the pack racing at Talladega and at Daytona. I think that the fans will be happy. But the one thing I think that sits in the back of our mind is, will somebody gain a true enough advantage to where they are a lot faster than the rest of the field? And I know there's engineers right now that are paid to find that what if. And so, you know, it will be a question. And I just, like you and I both mentioned, I think that it will take a full year before we can actually give a judgment call on whether or not this rule package is what we expected it to be. I remember a couple of weeks ago, Mr. CJ Sports said, you know, the fantasy thing in our head of what we feel like something's going to be. And so many times, as Mr. CJ Sports pointed out, you know, our fantasies of what we believe is going to happen doesn't really fall into tune. You know, and sometimes they do, like the Roval, you know. But given that over a year's time, and we'll have three different chances to see this rule package run, it will not be run at the Daytona 500. They will be a restricted play car. They will be the same package that they run before. NASCAR did that because of the late announcement, and they felt like teams were already working on their Daytona 500 car. So it will be next year. It won't be the 2019 Daytona 500, but it'll be the 2020 Daytona 500 when we see this new rule package go into effect. And as we both know, Craig, it may not even be the same rule package when it goes into 2020. But definitely the season is still exciting. We've got a few more episodes left in front of us. Of course, we'll be doing them on Monday night instead of our typical time of Thursday night. I have talked with Mid-South Big Ten Racing Series, the Street Stock Series, and talked to them earlier this week, Craig Moore, and they want to make sure that we know that we're going to have their champion on the show here the following at the end of their championship run, which I believe will be the week following Thanksgiving. So we may have one more episode that we have to do, and that's to honor the championship driver from the Mid-South Big Ten Street Stock Series. Other than that, you know, we're just going to be on here. We're going to be talking racing. We're going to be talking about where the, you know, this is October, man, and there's still a few guys out there. We don't know where they're going. So silly season is still in full effect. I do believe that the further we get away from the Suarez at Stuart Haas, the less likely that deal is going to work out. But, you know, Stuart Haas has got to finalize something if they're going to keep that 41 team in tow. And so I would almost guarantee that an official announcement for that 41 team would come out probably this weekend at Talladega. And if not this weekend at Talladega, Craig Moore, then definitely we should know a lot more come Martinsville. Also, Matt Kenseth stated that he was not returning to the racetrack next year, that he would accept a fill-in role. Only with Roush Racing. He has no plans to leave Roush, and I could see some inner workings with him working in upper management, Craig Moore. Any thoughts on that real quick before we go?
Yeah, I don't buy that he's not going to return to any more than a fill-in role. We'll just have to wait and see, but...
Is Ricky Stenhouse Jr. in the hot seat? Is that kind of what you're feeling like, Craig, that maybe Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is... in the hot seat over at Roush Racing?
Yeah, I think that Matt is. You're going to see Matt in 17 quite a bit next year, because they're going to need to shake that car down too.
Right.
And I hear CJ laughing in the background, but so go ahead, CJ. I want to hear what you have to say, buddy.
We haven't talked about Carl Edwards in a while, have we?
Yeah, you know, and I think Carl left us to always – it's like the Barry Sanders effect. You know, I remember for 3 and 4 years after Barry Sanders left the Detroit Lions, oh, if Barry comes back now, they could still make it to the Super Bowl. And even Tony Romo, Tony Romo left us with this void because, you know, as Dak Prescott struggled, it's like we keep hearing, you know, tones of could Tony come back. I just don't think that Carl Edwards is going to come back, Mr. CJ Sports. But please go ahead.
I don't feel necessarily driving the role. I'm still sticking with. I think that when it's all said and done, these guys will be reunited, and I'm not saying they'll be in a car, but and it might just be a satellite of Roush Fenway. But I don't think it's done yet.
Reunited.
I just
feel so good.
I I still think there's something there. I don't know. I just find it hard to believe that Edwards just said, you know what, I'm done one day, and that's it. And Matt's not willing to say that I am done yet, because I don't think that – I still think there's something there.
What happened? Are y'all there?
Yeah, you hear me?
Oh, okay. I've got some noise in the background here. Were you done with that comment, CJ?
Yeah, like I said, I just think that they're not done. I think when it's all said and done, those two will be partnered up in some way, some fashion. They will either be all part of that organization in upper management, or they will form something that will be a satellite of Roush Fenway to help build Roush Fenway, or there'll be something. I don't think those two are done yet.
Yeah, those are strong predictions by Mr. CJ Sports, and definitely something to keep our eye on as the 2019 season comes into effect. Because remember, guys, he is still, as of this moment, and until I believe the end of the season, he is still under contract by Joe Gibbs Racing. So, you know, we may not be hearing anything, and that's because obviously he's under contract still and is not allowed to speak of anything. But, if I had to take a guess now, I think that we've seen the end of Carl Edwards. But I would hate to think that as an ambassador, Carl Edwards has been a great ambassador for the sport, and there's been a void here with him gone. I believe that everybody in the garage would welcome him back in some form or fashion, because Edwards was really – he was a foundation driver for the sport, and not having him in the garage, not having his charisma, his smile – and his influence has what NASCAR is missing right now. And with all these drivers stepping away, you wonder who's going to take a management role, who's going to continue to carry the sport even after they retire. Of course, Dale Jr.'s done a good job at it. Dale Jarrett's done a great job. Richard Petty still to this day is in the limelight for NASCAR. But I would love to see Carl Edwards kind of take that same role as well, even if he didn't come back as a driver.
Well, I just think Carl Edwards is coming back somewhere in a role in NASCAR. It'd be great for NASCAR, period. As you said, Junior has done a good job with the role that he has done, even though he's not directly working for NASCAR. He's working for NBC, but I'd love to hear someone else up in the booth other than Larry McReynolds or somebody like that. So I'd welcome another driver.
Don't knock him a Larry McReynolds now, buddy, or else we will find other shows to work with, because I'm a big Larry Mack guy, and I feel like he's taking the role of Jimmy Spencer now. He's willing to say what other folks want to say, but they don't have the nerve to say it. Larry Mack says, hey, you can run me out of this sport. I've made my influence. I'm going to tell you how I feel about this. And I'll be honest with you, I like the Larry rant. I do. I think that the Larry McRant is awesome, and he's been on point almost every single time. He wasn't all that great of a broadcaster, but I'll be real honest with you guys. I don't think Dale Jr. is a very good broadcaster either, but he keeps things exciting.
No, I like Larry in the broadcast booth. Couldn't think of another person off the top of my head, and Larry was the first person that that popped into it. So
BW.
And it's nice.
I'll give you a name real quick.
It's nice to see my favorite Southerner all fired up.
Yeah, definitely. I guess we'll be closing out the show here. We want to thank you, race fans, for listening to us on Race Chat Live. I don't have any other topics. Are you guys good? Do y'all have anything to talk about?
I'm good. I just want to again send out my condolences to everybody here in upstate New York about that accident. That's horrible. This weekend, what do I got on tap? After a restful weekend this weekend, Friday night gig, and then Saturday I debut at a new venue. So I'm excited about that. And Halloween's right around the corner. I think I'm going to dress up as my favorite NASCAR driver.
Mr. CJ Sports, what's going on in the One Team Nation sports blog for the rest of the week here?
We'll be back. The One Team Nation sports show will be back on tomorrow night. We got everything situated and be back in the studio. Izzo will be joining me at 9:30 to get you guys caught up in the first week of the NHL. Of course, I'll be talking NFL, NCAA, as my Buckeyes continue their undefeated season. And my Browns keep having me sitting on the edge of my seat. 3 out of 5 games have gone into overtime, and all 5 games have been within 3 points. Got a lot of things to talk about, a lot of things to cover. Make sure you guys tune in, 8 o'clock, the 110 Nation Sports Show, right here on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. Don't forget you guys can follow us on Twitter, at 110 Nation. Like us on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports, and check out the site, www.the110nationsports.com, for all the latest.
You know, I've always been a fan of the underdog, Mr. CJ Sports, and as being a Braves fan, we had a lot of years where, you know, we weren't very good, and even as Alabama, we had our down years. The one thing that you can call me a bandwagon or Brown fan if you want to, but when you see a team struggle for so long like we have the Browns, I don't know what sports fan doesn't get excited when you see them finally making the turn. And Cleveland has been the best story for the NFL the last 5 weeks. They've been able to, you know, pull out 2 wins, man. 2 wins and a tie. I don't think anybody would have expected Cleveland to be this good this quick. And I don't want to put nothing out there like, you know, you should be expecting big things from this team. But I want to say it right here, right now. I'm very glad that they gave Hugh Jackson one more year to get it going. And this is the year. And Hugh has definitely proven that his team's behind him and they're playing hard for him. It's amazing the electricity that Baker Mayfield has brought to the Cleveland Browns, along with Jarvis Landry.
It is. And even if the Browns end up having a losing season or don't make the playoffs, which I don't expect them, to watch them be competitive, that there has been enough for me this season. And the last God knows how many years, we've not even been competitive. At least I'm getting to watch competitive games. I mean, 3 overtime games, and all of them within a field goal. So it's competitive. Yes, we easily can be 5-0, and yes, I would like to have some more wins, but I will take a competitive Browns team that loses versus what I've had to watch the last 15, 20 years.
Yeah, definitely good times going on in Cleveland, and serves them right. They lost King James, the most marketable ball player of our generation. But definitely good things going on there in Cleveland. Of course, I'm pulling for the Braves. I think they may have gotten kicked out here just a little bit ago. I haven't seen the score. Anybody got an update on the Braves and Dodgers game?
I ain't seen it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. So anyway, guys, we want to thank y'all for listening to Race Chat Live here tonight. And, of course, I want to thank Mr. CJ Sports and the 110 Nation Sports Blog Radio for giving us this opportunity to have this show. Of course, my assistant, my co-host, my man, my partner in crime, Craig Moore, and I appreciate everything that you do. And really looking forward to kicking this thing off again next year. We've got just a few more episodes left, but stay following us on Monday nights, and we'll get y'all get your racing fix here on Race Chat Live. But other than that, guys, I'm good, man.
All right, I will talk at you tomorrow, Chris, and looking forward to next Monday. Good night, y'all.
Good night. All right, Mr. CJ Sports. Thank you.